We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to The Uncontested Podcast, talking Oklahoma City Thunder basketball and the wider NBA.
Sam Presti said, lower the hatch, load up the cannon, and get the tank out rolling.
Catch new episodes after each Thunder game and every Sunday night.
This is a house of learning doctors.
Follow The Uncontested on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to catch new content as it drops.
I mean, a cat and a dog connected together?
This is Lou Dort. You're listening to The Uncontested.
What is up? Welcome to The Uncontested Podcast. Coming to you live from YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, Sunday, September 19th. We are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. I've got the man behind the machine joining me tonight, JD Silva.
What's up? Thanks for having me.
Taylor Peterson may join us at some point. His Chiefs are playing, so we'll see if he sneaks in here or not. TBD. TBD for the future dad, Taylor Peterson.
Yeah, huge congratulations to Taylor.
He's having a baby boy, I think in March. Right after the trade deadline, the Peterson household will be making another addition. So shout out to Taylor. If you are joining us live on the stream tonight, thanks so much for joining. Hit those comments. Drop your thoughts, your hot takes. We'll get to some of them as we move throughout the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, thank you for downloading our show. If you enjoy what you hear, make sure to hit that subscribe button. Drop a 5-star rating. Write a little blurb, a little nice thing about what you like about the show. It helps us become more visible to other listeners. As Silva, we are closing in on NBA training camp. It is quickly approaching. And because of that, it seems as though some of the Thunder players are back in OKC, getting some unofficial practice in together. And a lot of them seen this weekend at the OU versus Nebraska football game down in Norman, Oklahoma. Have you seen some of these players' Instagrams and Twitters and whatnot from them being at that game?
I did. It's always a good thing to see whenever your players go to like your city's college football games. I always remember seeing Russ there when he was here. It was kind of a wake-up call seeing like the players there now, because it's really like, oh, Russ is not, we're not going to see Russ there anymore. We're seeing all these new guys. So there's an adjustment too.
Definitely. But yeah, it's good to see that they're together, they're bonding. You know, that isn't scheduled by the team. Like, it's the players that schedule that and put that together and get everything put together. And so it's nice to know that there's leadership on this team that's organizing team functions outside of contract hours, for lack of a better term, I guess. Yeah. And Isaiah Roby, Nebraska grad, he graduated this summer. So, of course, he was at the game.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw, there's a picture, not on Shea's Insta, but somebody else's Insta of Shea.
Yeah, it was like a fan, I think, asked if he could get a picture. Yeah.
Ty Jerome was there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of Baisley from the game. So it looks like a lot of them got together. Maybe some of them like didn't take pictures.
Yeah, I think Baisley needed those brownie points.
Yeah, so good for him. Although Baisley also said go Big Red. He wanted to see Nebraska win. So
yikes. Yikes.
Couple of bad season with firing off some anti-OU takes is going to get Baisley in the dark.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Doghouse for Thunder fans, for sure. Another interesting thing, Silva, speaking of the team getting together, Josh Giddey went live on TikTok today. I didn't even know you could go live on TikTok. So I learned something today.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Giddey went live on TikTok today to, I guess, just do some like Q&A stuff. I saw a lot of this tweeted out by a friend of the pod, Ryland Stiles. He runs the Locked On Thunder podcast. And he was mentioning that the team is getting together and practicing already. Said that basically he wakes up, eats, lifts, plays pickup. They play all day. Some of them go back in the evening and play more pickup. But the team is together and playing. A quote from Giddey said he, quote, loves Kenrich Williams and he is super excited to play with him, which is out of all the guys he could be excited for, Kenrich is an interesting one.
Yeah, I love that. That's so specific. And also, has there ever been a clearer window to see inside the Thunder than what Josh Giddey has been giving us? Like, have we ever had that level of transparency? The Thunder hate that.
Yeah, I wonder how much Thunder PR is going to be like, Josh, kill the TikTok. Like,
Josh, I'm deleting your TikTok. Yeah.
It's funny. So, apparently Josh has loved playing with Kenrich Williams and then also said, quote, I would not want to play in the NBA if I wasn't in Oklahoma City.
Sort of an odd quote, because what if he could have very easily been drafted by someone else? But, you know, I'll take it.
I mean, I think that's one of those things you just say, right?
Yeah, you just say it.
We also know there are some ties for Josh and OKC. Mm-hmm. His sister playing up the road is a little much. It's really far up the road, but his sister's playing college ball up at Oral Roberts.
Yep.
You know, he is a self-proclaimed fan of the Thunder in the past. So some ties there for Josh Giddey, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that he is here, but we have talked about, and it wasn't an episode you were on, I don't believe, Silva, but we talked on this show before about the Thunder targeting international players. And historically, I feel like when you look at international players playing in the NBA, there is, the word loyalty is tossed around a lot. I'm not sure how much like true loyalty applies here, but sticking with one franchise, writing it out, I think you see that more with international players versus stateside players.
Yeah.
You know, you think of players like Dirk Nowitzki, right?
Mark Gasol to a certain extent.
Yes. Today you think of like a Nikola Jokic, right? Yeah. Or a Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm. Manu Ginobili.
Manu Ginobili. Guys that haven't been in the league super long. I guess Tim Duncan is technically foreign born.
Sort of, yeah. Tony Parker.
Yeah.
French.
So I think it's interesting that one of the smallest markets in the NBA who has maybe the most iconic player leaving the franchise, right? Like not iconic as like the Thunder's most iconic player. That's true. Mm-hmm. But also the most iconic example league wide
yeah.
of a player bailing on a small market to go to a big market, jumping on the winning bandwagon,
mm-hmm.
obviously in Kevin Durant. I think it's interesting that they are kind of prioritizing international talent to an extent. Last season, Alexei Pokuševski, this season with Josh Giddey, and then Canadian guys like Dort and Shea. Just kind of interesting. I wonder if the Thunder kind of see that trend and see the cultural difference there in like staying with the team that drafted you, and if that's part of their plan. If it is, I think that's kind of strange, because that is something you definitely cannot control.
Yeah.
Right. It's different from saying like, ooh, we see that guys that play over in Europe are typically higher IQ players and more cerebral. That's a fair assumption to make,
mm-hmm.
but banking on drafting a guy because you think he will stay because he's foreign born.
That's odd.
It's a little more of a stretch, but do you think there's maybe something there with that?
I do. I do think they want to pick guys that fit with the Thunder culture, or at least what they think is the Thunder culture now, which are guys like even guys like Shea, who dress really nice and drive really flashy cars and stuff like that. Even Shea in that GQ piece that we talked about last pod mentioned how he is a basketball hermit. Like when it's the season, he is basketball, basketball, basketball. Like they want that to be the priority for these players for the most part. Because yeah, OKC doesn't have the attractions that some like coastal cities have or big cities have. But we do offer a really, by all accounts, a really great basketball environment. So
yeah, a great place to further your profession.
Yeah. Couple that with, yes, international guys don't have their roots in the US. They've not had their eyes on like famous American athletes for their entire life, at least not the way we do that mm-hmm. like we grew up. So I think that's part of it also.
Yeah. They also,
and yeah, I think you're definitely onto something.
You mentioned a good point there that foreign-born players don't have like a Kawhi Leonard. I want to go back home and play for my hometown LA team,
yeah.
right? Because for foreign-born players in America, the team that drafted them is their home team, right? Like if I were to get drafted to play basketball over in Europe, Barcelona drafted me, I would have never lived in any place in Europe except Barcelona, right? And so yeah. that kind of becomes their de facto home city, which is interesting. Joining the pod now, finally, he gets on. We've got Taylor Peterson.
I'm not okay right now.
What happened? What's the score now?
Not great. Let's just talk some basketball.
Okay.
Sure, yeah.
Apparently Taylor's Chiefs are struggling a bit.
We're still up, but I'm not sure for how long. A little stressed.
Well, Taylor, I don't want you to hear this post pod whenever you listen back. But the podcast did give you a shout out as future dad, Taylor Peterson. So
now we're talking.
Congratulations.
Congrats, man. I
very much appreciate that. Gonna have a little man to cheer on the Thunder with, and the Chiefs with, and the Hurricanes and the Sooners.
I can't wait for your son to be like a lacrosse baby Poku / swimmer doesn't give a shit about basketball.
I respect baseball a lot. Respect baseball fans a lot.
But at least there's one person on this pod that
so
does
much. You know what?
Yeah. Like,
baseball was my best sport growing up when I was young. I guess that's mm-hmm. what I was. Maybe the only sport I was talented at was baseball, and I just gave it up at like third grade. I wanted to give it up. Fourth grade, coaches begged me to come back. I played, wanted me to, like, you know, I tried out for kid pitch, made the team or whatever. I was like, I don't like this game. I'm going to play basketball where I'm short and scrawny and have no chance. And, you know, here we are.
Baseball. Hey, you can still go light it up at pickup games, at some local pickup games, Taylor.
Hey, that's right. Us, the big three right here on the podcast, we tore it up at that Moore gym.
Oh, yeah. I did get concussed during that game, but
you did. Yeah. I dropped some dimes during that game.
I completely missed that. Yeah,
yeah. Silva took like, hey, speaking of taking elbows to the head, last thing on this Josh Giddey TikTok live mentioned he took an elbow from Alexei Pokushevsky.
Hey, prayers for Poku's elbow.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I hope it didn't mess up Josh's pretty face.
Oh man.
Hey, if Poku's out there throwing elbows and pickup, good sign of
my man.
Good sign. Yeah,
good for him. I yearn for the day that Giddey has like facial hair. I hope he makes a Steven Adams-esque aesthetic transformation at some point. I feel like I'm looking at the lead singer of Panic at the Disco all the time. So I'm ready to move on from that.
I love it.
I miss his Instagram live. So for those of you who don't know, we are the Uncontested is on TikTok. And therefore, the Uncontested as followers, Josh Giddey got invited to his live stream because all followers of Josh Giddey got invited to his live stream. I didn't watch it. I was busy, I think, watching. Well, we were at the store and I came back, watched Cowboys barely beat the Chargers. Anyways, there were some interesting tidbits there. I think I'm trying to remember who it was. Why am I going blank? Ryan Stiles.
Yeah, we've kind of jumped in on this a little bit.
Some interesting nuggets there.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. A nice little peek behind the curtain.
True.
For Thunder fans, I think. Okay, gentlemen, we are going to continue tonight our season preview, season beginning preview series. We are in the Central Division this week, so after this week, we will wrap up the Eastern Conference. Next week, we will start the Western Conference. We will do 14 of the 15 Western Conference teams, and then obviously have a podcast solely dedicated to the Thunder preseason preview. And then we will also do our Thunder season bets down the line as well.
The best.
Whenever
I'm
people
excited.
Listen,
Sola gets to be in on this.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Whenever people listen to this show on September 20th, we will officially be 1 month away from the start of the NBA season. So it is coming up rather quickly, and I, for one, could not be more excited. So you guys ready to just jump right on into it?
Let's do it.
Ready.
Awesome. I will give you guys some background on what the teams did last year. Taylor will let you know kind of what transactions they made, who they picked up, who they lost, who they drafted. I will tell you guys the over-under. And we will kind of break down these teams. So our first team tonight in the Central Division is a team that went through, Taylor's going to have a lot to read because did a lot of off-season maneuvering. The Chicago Bulls, they ended last season 31-41, 11th in the Eastern Conference, did not make the play-in tournament. They struggled under Billy Donovan again, but decided to make some win-now moves at the trade deadline. They did not get their own lottery pick this year as it went to the Orlando Magic in a Nikola Vucevic trade. Even though they did not make the playoffs and struggled a bit last season, I think their outlook for next season is very high, surrounded by a guy that I'm interested in what you guys think about this, a guy that I think has kind of become underrated around the NBA in Zach LaVine. His performance last season, his performance in the Olympics, this guy came into the NBA super raw, crazy athlete that has added a ton of skill to his game, has become a lethal ISO scorer. And Taylor, tell us a little bit about what they've added around Zach and Nikola Vucevic, and I think a big part of their team going into next year, Patrick Williams, who is going to be entering his second year in the league. But who are they adding around those guys? What moves did they make this summer?
That's a good point. Neither Nick nor Justin are on the podcast right now, but I know they got to witness some of the Patrick Williams, what he was able to do during summer league in Vegas. And just
the paw.
pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Now, the way I'm reading this off SpoTrac right now, and the way they have this laid out is a little different than what we've done the previous week. So bear with me here. But the biggest thing, right, and that's the first thing that comes up on this list, August 8th, 2021, the Lonzo Ball sign and trade that occurred. Obviously, a little bit of I don't know what the proper term is here. I think there's some skepticism from other teams. Like, obviously, the Bulls
cheating is what the word you're looking for. Cheating.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing that every NBA team does in free agency.
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly. And the teams that don't end up with Lonzo Ball are the ones who called that team out on it. Mm-hmm. But 100%. Lonzo ends up signing a 4-year, $80 million contract with the Pelicans.
With the Pelicans as part of the sign and trade. To get to
that's not right.
Which is actually like it, that feels like a really good number for Lonzo. Four for 80.
Yes,
and it feels like good. Almost undervalued a little.
I think there has been some criticism league wide about why the Pelicans didn't just sign Lonzo to that contract. Mm-hmm. And I think the answer there is that Lonzo didn't want to be there. Typical. Yeah.
We'll get to the Pelicans. And in the next couple of weeks, and there I got a lot of questions. But
good point. Good point. Typical Rich Paul client, though, right? So part of that trade, Thomas Satoransky trade to the Pelicans from Chicago with Garrett Temple, a 2024 second round pick, and cash for Lonzo Ball in that signing trade. Now, maybe the biggest surprise in free agency for the Bulls was Alex Caruso. Obviously, a Lakers fan favorite signed with the Bulls on a 4-year, $37 million contract.
Another really good number.
And then former Thunder player, not very long, but he played with the Thunder for part of the season. Tony Bradley signed a 2-year, $3.83 million contract with the Bulls. This one I really liked. I think was a little bit underrated. I liked for the Spurs, not so much the Bulls, but the Bulls traded a very valuable piece in Thaddeus Young to the Spurs with a 2025 first round pick, a 2022 second round pick, and Alfred Minu, and I didn't even realize there's a 2025 second round pick for DeMar DeRozan. Obviously, the huge acquisition there for the Bulls. They have Lonzo and DeMar. Jalonte Green, they signed to a 2-year deal. Devin Dotson, they signed to a 2-way contract. Derek Jones Jr., this is a little more recent here at the end of August, but Derek Jones Jr. was traded to Chicago from Portland as part of the 3-team trade. Chicago traded Markkanen to Cleveland, which was a little bit of a head scratcher, I think, around the league.
Yeah, we'll get Cleveland to that trade next, actually.
Hey, there we go. Larry Nance Jr. to Portland, which, like you guys said, we'll talk about that. And then Portland traded a 2022nd first round pick and a 2023 second round pick to Chicago as well. And then from there, just some smaller signings. Matt Thomas, who is a shooting guard, basically a summer league contract. Stanley Johnson, that's a familiar name, but also just a summer league contract. And then, just going through the rest of this list, a bunch of summer league contracts as well.
So really the big additions,
a lot of turnover.
Derek Jones Jr., DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso. So Silva, what do you foresee the starting lineup for Chicago looking like on opening night?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Lonzo, LaVine, DeRozan, Patrick Williams, and Vucevic.
Nick Vucevic.
Yes.
Which means you have guys like Kobe White and Alex Caruso coming off the bench. It's an interesting team. Yeah, I would foresee that being the starting lineup as well. There is some defensive deficiencies on that lineup.
Certainly.
But Lonzo and Caruso are two great perimeter defenders that I think are a really good addition to that team. Just an interesting team all around. You know, they really pushed a lot of the chips to the middle. I think that Markkanen trade was something they had to do to recoup some future draft capital with how much they've traded out with the Vooch deal, with the DeRozan deal, and with the Lonzo deal. They needed to recoup some assets in that as well. I just don't know how much of what they did will move the needle. I think they will be very good offensively. Like, I think we're talking like a top. Is it crazy to say they're going to be like a top six offense in the league?
I was going to say eight, but I don't think it's insane.
If it clicks. I worry about a team that lacks a ton of perimeter shooting in the modern NBA.
They have a lot of scorers, but I don't know how many, like,
and a lot actual of three points. Like, obviously,
well,
we talked
about
Patrick Williams.
Zach can light it up. Lonzo can light it up.
Can he, though? He improved.
Last year he shot like 40%, didn't he?
On limited attempts. And so that's where I worry. Is like you have DeMar, who isn't known as a great 3-point shooter. Like you guys said, like you have Levine. You just don't have a ton of shooters. But here's the thing, that doesn't really matter if you're just like running and gunning and outright teams.
Lonzo was 38% last year. Shot eight threes a game.
Okay.
Okay.
So he did get a lot up. Let me get to his shooting.
They're gonna need that for sure.
He's gonna need to go up to like 10 probably.
But here's the thing.
Vooch helps space the floor. Last season, 20% of Lonzo's threes came from the corner. He shot 40% on corner threes. I think he'll have a lot of opportunities on that. But I agree. I think they're gonna be a team that gets out and runs.
Yeah,
a lot. I think they're going to have a great pace in the league.
Absolutely.
What does Vooch do when they're doing that? Because he's not necessarily known for being a pace guy.
He's going to be the trail catch and shoot three at the top of the key.
Okay.
Yes.
I can be talked into this team. I'm a little skeptical about how all the pieces kind of fit together. Like if I was making a 2K team, this would be dope. Like I'd be having a lot of fun playing 2K with this team. I just don't know that they're just like a little undersized in some positions. Like DeRozan, like who's going to guard the best wing on the other team?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Patrick Williams. I keep wanting to call him Patrick McCaw. Sorry about that. Patrick Williams is going to, but
I think he is kind of the key that unlocks all of this.
Really important. And it's his second season.
Uh-huh. Yep. But he's got great size, great athleticism, really good defensive player. Kind of a garbage man offensively, but I think with the types of players they have offensively, I think he just fits theoretically. Mm-hmm. If he can be the guy that they think he can be, I mean, I think you've got a really, really good player there that kind of ties all of this together. It's also interesting. Florida State just has a type.
Jonathan Isaac, now
Patrick Williams, you know, they have this type that it's kind of cool.
That's a good point. Seeing what he was able to do during the summer league, I think just reinforces what they thought about Patrick Williams. Spend too much time on the Bulls, but I think that's a great point that you brought up, Jacob. Like that Patrick Williams does unlock a lot just with his versatility, but I think he also possesses more than just like being limited to that kind of Draymond role. If he can hit outside shots, I mean, that kind of answers the problem that I brought up that Silva and I were talking about. If he can create for others, like that helps with that as well. And if he can guard your best player, I mean, you have a pretty solid team. So
I like some lineups with Patrick Williams at the five too.
Oh yeah. Just play.
You know,
like,
really take Vooch out and throw Caruso in there. You know,
that's what I was going to say.
Go smaller. Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot, we aren't even talking about Caruso. Oh.
Yep. So the Bulls over under for next season, this kind of surprised me, 42.5. So if they go over, they will be at least 43-39, which isn't a huge gap. It's not massively over 500. But Silva, you taking the over or the under with this?
What was their record? What was their record last year?
Last year they were 31-41.
I think I'm going to take the over. I think I'll take the over. If they are under, I worry about the roster. Like there are some real problems if they're not, because they took swings, big swings here, so they need to pay off.
Yeah, they kind of unloaded the clip. What they had in the gun, they fired all the bullets this summer. I feel like this is the team they have now.
I don't mean to be a yes man, but I'm with Silva exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's
I'm taking the over as well. I'm definitely taking the over as well. I know the East is improved.
Yeah. Oh, I was just gonna say like once we do get to our, we'll do our Thunder predictions and do just our league-wide like rankings that we have. I like them in like the 5 or 6 range, I think, in the East, which may be a little higher than many have.
I'm very curious where Boston and them end up, actually.
Ooh, I like them in the play-in in the East.
Okay.
I don't know where they end up in the play-in, but I like them in the play-in in the East.
Ooh, that's a lot of wins, though. Like, play-in, and they're only getting 42. Not
play-in,
so wide.
Play-in is 7 through
okay.
10, right? 7 10, through yeah. 10.
Fair.
I feel pretty confident that Milwaukee, Brooklyn.
Good point. Miami, Sixers. The Sixers. Simmons trade.
Boston. I feel pretty confident they're going to be above them. I think they're going to be around the same as like Indiana. I didn't even mention Atlanta there. It's going to be hard for them to get
the
up
East,
there.
The East is good.
The league is good.
It's not super top heavy in the East, but there's a lot of depth there.
Yep. Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of depth there.
True.
Well, let's speak of some of the not depth in the East. The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, boy.
The Cleveland Cavaliers last season, 22-50, 13th in the Eastern Conference, obviously end up having some ping pong balls fall their way on draft night to land the number 3 overall pick in the NBA draft, where they selected Evan Mobley. Really good pick for them, kind of exactly what their team needed. Lots of talk last season and into the offseason about trading. Oh, goodness. Why am I going blank? Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton, which has never come to pass. It looks like Colin Sexton is going to be on this team going into next year. So, Taylor, tell us a little bit about, besides Evan Mobley, who else Cleveland added and what they did. They obviously signed their big man to Jared Allen to a massive, massive contract. Yep. There's still the Colin Sexton extension out there that nothing has happened with yet. We obviously know Kevin Love wants to be traded or bought out for the entirety of his deal. But what other moves did they make?
That's kind of like the big stuff, right? Like, obviously, they draft Evan Mobley, a multi-positional, versatile big who, like, could see minutes anywhere from the 3 to 5 this season, which is crazy to say, but I think it's honestly likely, like you said, Jacob, because they signed Jared Allen to a pretty large multi-year contract, extending him with the franchise after obtaining him in that ridiculous James Harden trade. but the other big trade is one that I kind of alluded to earlier. Larry Nance Jr. was traded to the Portland Trailblazers in exchange for Derek Jones Jr. To the Bulls. And a condition, I mentioned some of the picks, but the biggest, maybe most head scratching part of that trade was Lauri Markkanen being acquired by the Cavaliers in exchange for Larry Nance and that conditional 2023 second round pick that was Denver owned. So obviously, I think Markkanen is probably the biggest acquisition there. I mentioned Damian Dotson, no longer with the Cavaliers. Let's see, kind of scrolling through. There's not a ton of other big names.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much.
Taco Fall. We forgot about Taco Fall.
Yeah, yep.
The centers.
Yeah,
all
basically the theme big. For Cleveland this summer was get big guys, and it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I don't know how they find time for Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and Lauri Markkanen
and Taco Fall.
Taco Fall, Kevin Love, if he's still on this team,
too many.
Right.
There's just a log jam there. You know, there was some talk amongst Cavs Twitter that Lauri Markkanen could play the 3. Mm. That seems like a really, really poor decision. If you ask me, like a very poor decision, but Silva, what do you think about this Cleveland team moving into next season, team that very clearly wants to win? I think their GM is on the hot seat, as I would maybe even say he's got to be like odds on favorite to be first GM fired this season.
Yeah.
Kobe Altman.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on this Cleveland team?
It's strange. They're just, it's a strange fit. Honestly, if you go to their assumed default starting lineup, it's Sexton, Garland, Isaac Okoro, who I actually like quite a bit. And then a combination of, Jared Allen and the guy they just drafted. Here it comes.
Evan Mobley.
Evan Mobley, yes. So that immediately gives you two non-shooters in your starting lineup, which is tough in 2021. So if you do that, then you're not going to sub out Evan Mobley. So are you starting – who are you starting in addition to them to get another shooter out there?
Yeah.
It's probably going to involve – it's going to involve not playing Jared Allen, which you just gave him a large extension for. It's just strange. It's a strange makeup to their roster. I don't really get it. Laurie Markkanen maybe? Is he playing next to Evan Mobley?
I struggle to see the plan here.
Me too.
Like, the plan is obviously to get young talent and build it up, but there's like no rhyme or reason to it, it feels like, which is just poor planning and poor management, which is why I think there's a good chance Kobe Altman gets fired. Sorry, Taylor, did you mention the acquisition of Ricky Rubio?
Oh, no, I didn't mention that was before the draft. Yeah, so Rubio.
So they also have Ricky Rubio on this team, which is part of that Taurean Prince trade, right? Let's
see. I have to like go back a page find it.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think it was Taurean Prince and something else for Ricky Rubio, which
that's odd.
Yeah, really strange. It's
poor guy can't get to a winning team, can he?
So where does he fit in that equation, right? I guess he's the backup point guard behind Darius Garland.
Yeah.
And Colin Sexton. I mean, he's a good mentor, I guess, but mm-hmm. I don't really see what the Cavs are doing. And quite honestly, I foresee this season for them looking a lot like last season did. However, I do like Isaac Okoro as well. And I think they have something that they can build on there.
I agree.
Honestly, like, if I were them and I was a decision maker, I'd be looking at what can I get for Colin Sexton and sliding Isaac Okoro to the two.
Which I kind of feel like is like what they tried to do this offseason.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they didn't. None of it was what they wanted, right?
Because I do think Isaac Okoro is real good. He's 6'5", 225. I mean, he is basically Dort size plus an inch. I think he's a really good defender. I think he'd be a really good player for them at the two. And then you can move off Colin Sexton and find somebody else who can play on the wing for you, a bigger wing. I don't know.
I agree completely there.
Just don't really know what their plan is.
They're like somewhere in a weird spot between development and win now. But I think that's going to come at the cost of development and win now because of that decision. So
you can't have it both ways, right?
Exactly.
They're over under this season. 26.5. Taking the over or the under?
26.5. That is tough.
26.5.
I sort of want to lean the under, but not by much. Because I don't think they're going to win less than 20 games. But I sure as hell don't think they're going to win 30 games.
Yeah.
So I'll take the under.
The under might be right. The under, like, I could see them going like 30-52.
Yeah.
I could see them going 28-54. So maybe I will take the over just slightly. I think they've got enough talent. Maybe they make an in-season trade. They get off Kevin Love and get something that helps them back. But yeah, I think my biggest prediction for them this year is that Kobe Altman is out. That would be my guess.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think reading Cavs fans, they expect the over, right? Like, they kind of expect this team to like take a leap. Like, they think they've gone through their rebuild. I'm just not sure that rebuild has been done properly.
And it's going to be interesting to see, does Colin Sexton get an extension or get traded? Because if not, they go into next summer with him as a restricted free agent, basically just like holding the hand grenade with the pin pulled, you know? And you have to make a decision then and there, and it's going to be difficult. So
they rebuilt similarly to how Chicago did, but they're not Chicago, so they're not going to get free agents.
I think that's I think that's very fair. All right, that's enough talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Quite honestly, let's move on to a team that I think is actually really interesting, and the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
You're
right. No, you're right.
There's some interesting pieces here. Detroit. Last in the Eastern Conference last season, 20-52. Obviously winning the NBA lottery, landing the number one pick, and they draft Cade Cunningham. But had some interesting players on the team last year as well, as far as guys like Jeremy Grant, who was really, really good for them. Sadiq Bey was really great. Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart, another rookie that performed really well for them. Killian Hayes, kind of still out on him, I think. A lot of people are. We don't really know what he's going to be, and he dribbles the ball a lot, and he's a good defender, but is he going to handle the ball? Is Cade going to handle the ball? Taylor, tell us what else they did over the summer.
It was busy for them and kind of interesting. Starting with Kelly Olynyk, he signed a multi-year contract with the Pistons. I like the fit, just not what I thought that they would do.
Kind of strange.
Right. Trey Lyles signed a multi-year contract with the Pistons. Saban Lee, Isaiah Livers signed a multi-year contract. Let's see. I think that's it there. Obviously, Kate Cunningham, first overall pick in the draft. Let's see. They end up re-signing Rodney Magruder. Corey Joseph signed a multi-year contract with the Pistons, which I kind of like. That's interesting. Former Thunder, I guess not player, but trainee. Camp Frank Jackson signed a multi-year contract with the Pistons after I believe he was on a two-way this past season. But
I think that is correct. Yep, Mamadou Diallo signs a multi-year deal.
Yep.
10 mil.
And then this was a fairly interesting trade. Sekou Demboya, Jahlil Okafor, and a TPE were acquired by the Nets from the Pistons in exchange for DeAndre Jordan, which
and four they obviously seconds,
brought
right?
out in 4 seconds. Yep. So that was kind of the big thing that they did there.
There is
there hasn't been a ton of action.
There is no player on the Detroit Pistons that was not drafted by or traded for by Troy Weaver.
That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yes, there is nothing left on that roster that's before the Troy Weaver era, which is really fascinating. So they have an interesting team, I feel like. Who starts? What's their starting lineup look like this next season?
The backcourt's easy. It's Cade and Killian.
Cade and Killian.
I like the idea of Killian Hayes more now that maybe his usage can be a bit lower. It's what I'm hoping for. We'll see. But who do you guys think starts at the three for them?
I mean, I think 3-4 has to be Sadiq Bey and Jeremy Grant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then do you start Isaiah Stewart at the five? Do you start the Plumlee at the five? I can't remember which Plumlee it is that they have.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, the blonde one. I think it's Mason. Probably.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, considering it's Troy Weaver, probably Isaiah Stewart. Just to get him the minutes.
That's a fun team. Killian, Cade, Grant, Bay, and Stewart.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fun lineup. You know,
Bay is, like, good.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're kind of like
there's a lot of size on that team too, as far as like big wings.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like the Oklahoma City Thunder of the East. Like they're going to roll out some really fun young lineups. They're purposely probably not going to win a lot of games because of that.
Nope.
But like, yeah, they're like you guys said, they have a lot of fun youth. They're going to compete in games, but probably not going to win a ton of games in a pretty talented East this season.
Yeah.
So they kind of remind me of the Thunder of the East.
Here's my question for you guys for Detroit. Does Jeremy Grant end the season in a Pistons uniform? They're very clearly going youth movement. You could get a lot for him.
Because
he's been really good. But also, he chose to come to Detroit. He left a championship team in Denver to come to Detroit.
True.
He chose to come to Detroit because he wanted to play for a black GM and a black coach.
Yeah.
Right. So he wants to embrace the city of Detroit. There's a lot of cultural elements there that I think make it more difficult to trade him unless he asks for it.
Yes.
Than it would in a normal circumstance. Right.
True.
Yeah. That's the caveat. If he asks for it, then I think, yes, I'm with Taylor. Otherwise, he probably sticks around. A lot of teams could use him, though. Yeah. For sure.
That could be a bad look for your franchise. That's a good point. And also that Troy Weaver, Jeremy Grant connection back when he was in OKC. Mm-hmm. You have to wonder how much, considering, like you guys said, that Jeremy Grant chose to go to Detroit, where he obviously knew that Troy Weaver was going to be a GM, how much of that connection that they established when they were in OKC together. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating, because then you could find yourself, if you're not careful, and a kind of in-between position like the Cavaliers who we just talked about. And yeah. I don't think you want to be there.
One team I love for Jeremy Grant, I don't think he's going to get traded. I think he plays the entire season in Detroit. One team I love for him, though, is the Boston Celtics.
I think if
you're 2-3-4, basically your wings are Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Jeremy Grant, that's disgusting.
I like that a lot. I've never thought about that.
That is disgusting. You throw Marcus Smart and Al Horford out with those other three. I mean, you have a squad at that point. That's a really fun team, I think. I also just shout out to Jeremy Grant. I mean, you remember his first games in Oklahoma City when basically all he could do.
Bambi out there.
Yeah, all he could do was put his elbows in the rim and dunk it.
Yeah.
There was like very little skill as far as like dribbling, passing, shooting. Just his development and how much his game has changed. Like, he's earned every penny he's made. He worked his ass off and really refined his game.
His shot looks so much better.
I'm a really big Jeremy Grant guy. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he plays all over the floor. He played backup center for the Thunder.
Yeah.
You know, just it's just wild. All right, guys. Detroit's over under one game less than the Cavaliers, 25.5.
I feel pretty good about going under there.
I think that's fair. I think there's going to be some growing pains. I do think Cade isn't the type of rookie that makes you lose a lot of games. I think he's way more mature. I do think there's going to be a big adjustment period. I just think they're young.
Yeah, very young.
Taylor, you going under as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, talking about these other Eastern Conference teams getting better, where are those losses going to come from if not from teams like the Detroit Pistons?
Yeah. That's where a lot of losses, like a lot of teams that are perceived to be tanking, a lot of that's just going to come like naturally. Like, they're not going to have to purposely play the
same thing with the Thunder.
Right. You
know? Also, the types of players we're talking about with Detroit, the Sadiq Bays, the Jeremy Grants, the Isaiah Stewarts, the Hamidou Diallos, it just feels like they are destined to tank again, land the number two pick, and get Paolo Banchero, who just fits that kind of massive wing / big, that's crazy athlete. Like, it just feels like that is set up for Detroit. I think it'd be a perfect fit. All right, guys, we got two more teams left. A team that I'm super excited to talk about because I think they're really fascinating. They're really interesting. Is the Indiana Pacers. I'm really excited to talk about this team. They ended ninth in the East last season, 34-38. They lost their play-in game in blowout fashion to the Washington Wizards. So they did not make the playoffs. They did make that play-in game and lost. Taylor, tell us a little bit about what Indiana did in the offseason.
So they lost, Doug McDermott and TJ McConnell are kind of like the two names that really stick out. But they ended up signing Torrey Craig, which was kind of interesting. I like that signing. Isaiah Jackson, TJ McConnell, Dwayne Washington Jr., Terry Taylor. Obviously, they end up drafting Chris Duarte, who had a pretty solid showing in summer league and is one of those rookies coming in who's expected to contribute immediately. I'm scrolling through here and trying to see anything else major. We have this. They were a part of the huge Spurs Aaron Holiday trade, right? So they ended up trading basically the Russell Westbrook trade, Spencer Dinwiddie trade. I don't even want to try and it's just like a giant paragraph here. Yeah, basically the Pacers traded Aaron Holiday and the draft rights to Isaiah Todd and cash. What did they even end up getting back in that trade? I'm trying to look here. TJ McConnell signing a multi-year contract with the Pacers.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, TJ stayed around.
He's staying around, yeah.
Yeah.
Did they just save money?
Other than that, yes, pretty much. Yeah.
Biggest offseason acquisition is the new head coach, right?
Oh,
Carlisle.
Yeah, true.
Rick Carlisle returning back to Indiana. That's a massive get for them. So for their roster for next season, let me run through a few big names so we can talk about them real quick. They've got Goga Batadze, Malcolm Brogdon, Torrey Craig, Chris Duarte, Isaiah Jackson, Jeremy Lamb is still on that roster, Caris LeVert, TJ McConnell, Sabonis, Cassius Stanley, Miles Turner. One guy I think we forget about a lot because he didn't play last season, TJ Warren.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
this is
who tweeted out that he's ready to go.
Yeah. You remember, didn't TJ Warren, wasn't his first bubble game a 50 piece?
Yeah.
I believe it was. He went off.
Yeah. He just went bonkers. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting team. One thing that sticks out to me, and I want your guys' opinion on this. They have Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis, and Goga Batadze. Does something give with the big men in Indiana this season?
Oh, it has to.
I hope so.
For example, that's a team who's been linked to Ben Simmons, right?
I kind of like Indiana as a sleeper Ben Simmons. Yes. I think he'd be fun. Absolutely. A Ben Simmons, Caris LeVert backcourt is kind of fun.
Absolutely. And I think to your guys's point, Jacob, that would have to – why am I going blank on their point guard?
Malcolm Brogdon. Yeah.
That would be a Brogdon trade. Brogdon would be involved there. And
I wonder if it could be some sort of three-team deal with Brogdon going to Philly, Miles Turner going to a third team,
yep.
Philly getting something else from that third team for Miles Turner,
mm-hmm.
and then the Pacers run out a lineup that's like – Ben Simmons, Caris LeVert, TJ Warren, Domantas Sabonis, and I don't know, Chris Duarte.
That's fun. That's really fun.
You know, so I kind of like them as a Ben Simmons lineup. But how do you guys feel about Indiana going? Obviously, last season was a disappointment for them. Indiana is the penultimate team of the league. They're the ultimate middle of the road team. Try to get that 5, 6, 7 seed every year. Maybe you win a playoff series and make it to the second round.
We got an all-star.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they're constantly that middle of the road team, but how do you feel about them going into next season, Silva?
I think they are like a high usage shot creator away from being like Atlanta. Like if they had Trae Young on their team, they would be just as good as Atlanta. I think you read off all those names. And I think there were maybe two where I thought, I'm not sure if he's like really going to play for their team, but everyone else you named off, I was excited about. I would love to split up the Miles Turner and Sabonis front court. I've been wanting that to happen for years now. But names like Caris LeVert, Malcolm Brogdon, Chris Duarte looked great in summer league. Hopefully that translates. TJ Warren, they have so much wing depth and guard depth that I'm pumped. And Rick Carlisle has always been known for maximizing the talent he has on his team. So they will. I think they'll challenge for the fifth, maybe.
I think they're 6, 7, 8, right in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder, can they make a trade? I love the Ben Simmons idea for them. I think it's fascinating if they can make a swap elsewhere, getting off of one of those bigs. I think if they're going to get off of one of their main bigs, it's going to be Miles Turner. They have to keep Sabonis. I think Sabonis is so good. That's not to say that Miles Turner is not. I think Miles Turner is like top five in preseason defensive player of the year odds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's really good.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting, but
you from outside, like that's important.
I think you have to keep just Sabonis. The Goga Batadze thing is interesting to me. He's kind of buried on that depth chart. Like I wonder if he's maybe like a buy low, like Thunder candidate. As a team that doesn't have a center, really. Mm-hmm. He's kind of interesting. You know, I don't know how I feel about Goga Batadze because I don't know much about Goga Batadze.
But, like, what is his asking price, to your point? Yeah, that's a good point. Buy low candidate, potentially?
He's foreign.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, Presti's interested. Right.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I'm a little lower on the Pacers overall than you all, just, again, because, like, I keep thinking about these teams in the East that have improved, and that's another team that I don't know how much stock I'm willing to put into a player like Caris LeVert, TJ Warren, players who have injury track records, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I am a
TJ
little
concerned about that. TJ McConnell's been really good for them, too.
Yeah, true. That's a good point.
And they have some interesting young guys like Cassius Stanley, Edmund Sumner, Jakar Sampson, O'Shea Brissett.
Sumner is out. He just had a recent injury, didn't he?
Did he?
He's out for the season now with like ACL or Achilles or something wild.
Every time I see O'Shea Brissett's name, I think of brisket and I get hungry.
I think this is a team that needs to make that, like, time's up. You need to make that move this season or else you're stuck in NBA.
I really like them as a Ben Simmons team. I really do.
I do as well.
It worked there.
All right,
Max does about Rich to Paul like die. I'm going to plug it in really quick.
Yeah,
cool. Hey, does Rich Paul like them as a Ben Simmons team, though?
I think it'd fit. I think it'd be good for him.
That's what really matters.
I think it would be good for him.
Yeah, but small market. We don't want to go there. And like that's just what's so frustrating. Like, who cares?
I think maybe small market, less expectations is exactly what Ben needs.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But to Silva's point, like, I don't know.
We'll see.
He wants to go to California. That's a whole new element in this day and age. Yep.
The Indiana Pacers over-under for next season is the exact same as the Chicago Bulls, 42.5. So that begs the question, number one, you guys going over or under? And number two, who ends next season with more wins, the Bulls or the Pacers? It's interesting. The Bulls have a bunch of flashy big names, and they went out and they made all these splashes. The Pacers just kind of running it back with a new coach, kind of that consistency. Two very different models here. Very different team-building strategies here with the same projected win total. So, Silva, 42.5 for Indiana. You going over or under? And then are they going to have more wins or less wins than the Bulls?
I'll go under. I think they're going to be between 38 and 40, actually.
Okay,
and
so you're going less win than the Bulls.
I will. Yeah, I'm a bit higher on the Bulls, mainly because of shot creation. I think the shot creation for the Pacers mainly comes from Sabonis working out of the mid-post and then Brogdon driving and kicking. Like, there's not much else there as far as shot creation, so I will go.
I think they're hoping Chris Duarte fixes some of that too.
Yes, their shot creation is more theoretical than the Bulls. I think with Caris LeVert is always a theoretical player. Like, you think he's going to be awesome, but
if Indiana and Chicago, I think Caris LeVert's really good. By the way. And I think Houston, the Rockets ownership and the Rockets front office are a bunch of effing idiots for choosing to take Victor Oladipo over Caris LeVert in that Harden trade.
Yep.
What a stupid decision. If the Bulls and the Pacers play in a 7-game series, who are you taking?
This is going to sound hypocritical, but I'll probably take the Rick Carlisle-led team.
Yeah.
In the long run.
I think that's fair. Taylor, you'd go an over or under at 42.5 for the Pacers?
I'm going under.
Under?
I'll be the
dissenting view here. I'll go slightly over, like 43, 44 for them.
Okay.
Not much, but slightly. All my over picks mean somebody in the East is going to have to like plummet, right?
Yes.
Okay, we've talked about a lot of mediocre or bad teams. So let's end the Central Division off on a high note. The Milwaukee Bucks.
Is it a high note, though?
Or, as I should say, the NBA champions, Milwaukee Bucks, ended last season 46-26, third in the Eastern Conference. They go 6 games with the Phoenix Suns, with Giannis dropping. He dropped a 50-piece in game 6 to close it out, didn't he? Basically scored half of his team's points.
Hit all of his free throws.
Couldn't happen to a better guy. Giannis is incredible. Mm-hmm. We got to get Silva. I'm telling you this now, so none of us forget. You got to get the sound drop of We Some Dogs by PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
At the parade. Just an iconic moment. So the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks, Taylor, what all did they do this summer?
They made a couple moves that were interesting. We'll get into. They had some significant losses. The first being, like you mentioned, PJ Tucker going to the Miami Heat. And based off an Instagram post that he made shortly after his signing, it sounds like he would have liked to stay with the defending champs, but they couldn't get to his number. Again, I don't know the background behind that from the Bucks side. Our friends over at the Eurostep podcast would know that. But that obviously is a huge loss for them. Now, Bobby Portis, somebody who was linked to other teams in free agency, he ended up coming back on a multi-year contract to the Bucks. George Hill.
On a discount.
Yes, great point. That was a huge win for the Bucks. George Hill, former Thunder player, not for very long this past season, but he ended up signing back with the Bucks, which was really interesting because there apparently was some friction there.
I low-key like that. Yeah, there was. Do you remember some of his quotes whenever he came to OKC?
It wasn't great. Yeah. Yes. Or sorry, that's not a direct quote. But yeah, no, yes. The quotes
the quotes were not great. Yes. I like it though.
I do too. Bringing him back is a huge win to be able to overcome some of that tension. Ronnie Hood, another underrated signing. One of those guys who I think a lot of us have been rooting for.
Yes.
If he can be healthy with the Bucks. And Semi Ojeleye from the Boston Celtics ends up signing with the Bucks as well, which I like a lot. Now, a trade that they made, really the only trade that they made, was they acquired Grayson Allen for basically Sam Merrill and a couple of picks. I like that a lot for them. Some guy that I can't pronounce because I don't even know who he is signed with the Bucks. Let's see, one of the Antetokounmpo brothers came back.
Is it their rookie Sandro Mamuka?
No,
this is Elashvili.
Jorgios Kalatsaskis signed a multi-year contract. Boom, got him. Okay, this is kind of a fun one. Tremont Waters signed a contract with the Bucks. And, former Thunder 10-day contract player Justin Robinson signed a two-way contract with the Bucks. Boom.
So when you look at guards that should get minutes for this team, you would think. Did Jeff Teague re-sign with them?
Ooh.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. So
I was going to say, I didn't see it.
Let's forget Jeff Teague. Let's look at guards. Rodney Hood, Drew Holiday, George Hill, a guy that I think a lot of people forgot about, Dante DiVincenzo, Pat Connaughton, Grayson Allen. Like, that's pretty solid depth. Absolutely. Those are some quality players. When you look at forwards, you've got Giannis and Thanasis. You have, obviously, Chris Middleton. I think I said Rodney Hood as guard, but you can also play him at the forward.
True.
Yep. Bobby Portis, Semi Ojeleye. And then for centers, you got Brook Lopez. Obviously, they will play Giannis at center quite a bit. You can put Bobby Portis at center quite a bit. Like, losing PJ Tucker was big.
Yes. Yep.
But this team feels like it got a little bit deeper and a little bit more explosive offensively. It
did get deeper. That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. I love their depth. The only area that I worry a little bit is point guard, right? Like, they don't really have a true creator. Now, granted, you could say that that doesn't really matter because they're going to get that from other positions. Mm-hmm. Look, Drew's amazing. He's going to be on the floor at all times. But my point is you could play another true creator alongside a player like Drew and shift him over a position. So it'll be interesting to see what this team does at the deadline. Now that they do have some of that depth. Obviously, they don't have a ton of draft assets after the Drew Holiday trade.
Uh-huh.
But regardless, just another solid team. Like you said, Jacob, got deeper. And even with that PJ Tucker loss, I still love where they're at, especially if Giannis is able to take another leap or even just be at the same level that he was this past season.
Definitely. Like, I see their starting lineup being something like Drew Holiday, Dante DiVincenzo, Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which means off your bench, you're playing George Hill is playing off your bench. Pat Connaughton is playing off your bench. Rodney Hood is playing off your bench. Bobby Portis is playing off your bench. And who's
Grayson Allen?
The next guy? Maybe a Grayson Allen, maybe a Semi Ojeleye. Like that.
That's a lot of names.
That's a really good team. Really good team. Go ahead.
Yeah, I also wonder, it seemed like watching from afar that nerves played a part in some of the players' performances in the playoffs, especially Drew Holiday, and at times Chris Middleton. I do wonder if now that the playoff monkey's off their back, in a sense, that they kind of spread their wings next season, next postseason, and that is what, kind of like Taylor was mentioning, Giannis takes a leap, and maybe Drew and Chris take a miniature leap and start being more consistent in the playoffs, because that alone would be excellent, especially if they go up against a healthy Brooklyn Nets.
Yes. If you had to make a guess right now, where does Milwaukee make it next season in the playoffs? What is your guess?
Conference finals?
They lose to Brooklyn in the conference finals, which is
going conference finals as well.
Yeah. That's the most unsexy pick, but like
it is what it is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Over under for the Bucks, 54.5.
That's a lot.
Me and Silva have the same exact face.
It's difficult because I think they could easily get to 55.
Exactly.
But are they going to push themselves the year after they won the title to get there? And I don't think they will.
Here, okay, here's the thing.
I think I think Giannis is going to get rest. I think Drew's going to get rest. I don't think they get there, not because they can't, but because they're going to choose to forego maybe a seed or two to be healthy and good to go whenever the playoffs get here.
I think they do it. I'm going to go ahead and say the over just because, okay. Like, I think of teams like we talked about this, but they have the stability, right? And I think of teams like the Brooklyn Nets, who I think we all expect to come out of the East. They are not going to be playing all those players at once. There are a lot to figure out there. It's kind of like a hodgepodge of really good players who will be great in the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be a good regular season team. Miami Heat still have a lot to figure out. Sixers is a you-know-what show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is going to reach that in the East? Like, is it just going to be a bunch of, like, 45-win teams? I don't think so. I just think the Bucks have the most what's the word I'm looking for?
Most, yeah, the most continuity.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you, continuity. that's why you brought Jacob on to help me with my mispronunciations. I can't even talk. I'm sorry. I'm trying to comprehend this Chiefs loss.
I feel you. I just lost fantasy, too. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, Silva.
Yeah. Rough my life let for you down. Guys.
Very. I'm taking the over.
My Cardinals are 2-0, baby.
Yeah,
that's right. Nice. Ever since Jacob hopped on, ever since Niffin hopped on the Kyler Murray train. Yeah, Kyler was so fun today.
I've been on the Murray train.
I miss him so much.
All right, any more Bucks thoughts, guys?
I'm taking the over because I think the Heat and the Sixers are a little sussy.
I like it.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think?
Me?
Yeah,
I'm going under.
Okay.
I agree with maybe my hottest take of the offseason is that I'm not sold to Miami.
Mm-mm.
Like, they're going to beat the living dog shit out of people physically because that's the kind of team they have. But they lack shooting.
Yeah.
They lack shooting. And I can't remember if I said this in our Slack or if I said it on the podcast. It might be a take that got lost in the Jacob and Taylor God pod that is lost on the internet.
We have this infamous pod and just like, yeah. Yes.
So I can't remember where I've said it. So maybe this is the first time I'm saying it on the show. So Silva, I don't know if you have a hot take sound drop queued up and ready, but.
Well, hold on.
Here we go again.
I think we've already seen the peak of Tyler Hero.
Oh, I love that. God,
I think we saw the peak of Tyler Hero in the bubble.
I think that was post Green Room Lost Pod.
It might be.
Which is good. You're doubling down. That's what
I think we have. Like,
I'm not even sure Tyler Hero reaches like a Jordan Clarkson level.
Ooh!
Hey. Hey,
we've already done our Miami talk. We can't continue to drag Miami.
If COVID-19 did not rob me of my sense of smell, I'd be smelling some fraudulence coming from that roster.
Can you smell yet?
Long-term COVID effect.
Oh, my gosh.
I have like 10% of my smell. I got it. I had COVID on December 21st of last year. So
you
see you later.
Like, you got it right around the same time I did.
Yeah.
And like I got my
taste is back gone.
2 weeks.
Can you taste at least, Silva?
Yeah, but some things don't taste the same. Like Jersey Mike's not good anymore, which is tough. Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough.
Poor thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine catching COVID.
Would not recommend it, folks.
jokers.
Yeah.
Hey, I caught it.
I've been taking my ivermectin. I'm good, all right? all right. Well, gentlemen, I think it is time for us to get out of here.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for joining the pod. If you hopped on the live stream with us tonight, I know we got a late start, so thanks for tuning in anyways, joining us in the late night pod. Thank you so much. If you're listening to the podcast version of this on Monday, hey, we are closing in on the NBA season. Hope you enjoyed the Central Division preview. Make plans to join us Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Central Time, right back here on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Sponsored by Brahms. I'm going to see if they'll give us free ice cream as we are going to do Thunder Players as ice cream flavors on Wednesday night. Cannot wait. It's going to be a blast. I already have some hot takes fired up. Loaded up in the gun, ready to unload. So make sure you grab your favorite milkshake, your favorite double dip, join us Wednesday night for the live pod so you can react to our takes and drop your own ice cream takes in the chat. We'd love to see those. You guys have a great start to your week. Stay safe, stay healthy. We will see you Wednesday night. Until then, and as always, Thunder up.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.